would like to speak to you this morning on a message that I've entitled Becomers. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. Becomers. Becomers. Reading from verse 12. I think I'll start with verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, authority, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Everyone is becoming something. You are becoming something. We have become sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We have become the sons of God in a legal, spiritual sense through the new birth. But it has not been without action on God's part. It has not even been without action on our part. We have had to become believers. We have had to believe. We have had to become willing. You have to become before you can do. And as you do, you become. We have had to become willing before we could repent. And as we repented, we became sons of God. We are young sons, but we are becoming whatever we have a passion for. People will always do, ultimately, or almost so, but within their power at all, they will do what they have a passion for. If you have a passion for something great enough, you will eventually do it. If you have a passion to be like Jesus Christ, if you have a passion to know God and walk with Him, you will take steps in that direction. We are becoming whatever we yield to. Whatever you yield to is what you are becoming. If you're yielding to certain pocketbooks and constantly reading them, you are becoming what's in there. Your passion is being excited and aroused by what's in there, and you're becoming that. Whatever you have a passion for, whatever you yield to, whatever you feed upon, you are becoming. If you are feeding upon the Word of God, you are becoming that bread from heaven. You are becoming part of that one loaf. You're becoming what you feed upon. If you're constantly in prayer before the Lord and praising, you are becoming praising Christian. You are becoming a knowledgeable Christian. You are becoming a submissive Christian. You are becoming a Pharisee Christian. You are becoming a critical Christian. You are becoming a gossiping Christian. You are becoming a faithless Christian. You are becoming a faithful Christian. You are becoming a sweet Christian. You are becoming whatever you study for, whatever you practice, whatever you feed on. You are becoming what you think on. You are becoming what you act out in life. You are becoming whatever you are called of God to become. if and as you yield. You are becoming harder, more and more gospel hard. You are becoming hard so the gospel isn't reaching you. Or you are becoming softer and softer. You are becoming more submissive to authority and therefore to God. You're becoming more broken. You are becoming something. We are called to be the ambassadors of Christ. We are called to represent Him. An ambassador is one who represents that nation, and he is sent out by the leader of that nation to go into another country to represent him. We are not of this world, although we are in it. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are of Jerusalem, which is above, which is free. We have been sent by the King of the New Jerusalem. We have been sent by Jesus to be ambassadors to represent Him. And we need to walk worthy of the vocation when we are sent. Each one of us are ambassadors, but each one are representing Him in different offices, in different roles. But we are each to represent Him. Roman soldiers in the days of following the days of the New Testament became soft. They had conquered the world. They had been hard. They were men who had been rigorously trained. They were strong. They were in good shape. They marched the many miles and subjugated the nations of the world. But once they had it in their grasp, they became soft. The soldiers laid around so much that they didn't want to keep the heavy helmets on. They didn't want to hold the shield. They wanted to set the shield against the wall, take the helmet off, and lay it down because it was heavy. They became so soft that when one person usurped the position and the general out in the field, Hood, who had become Caesar, they sold the Praetorian Guards and sold the office, that he began to march upon Rome with his soldiers, and they were trained, they were hard, they were men of battle, they could make forced marches. And in panic, the old senator who bought the office tried to get the people around the Roman soldiers around the capital in shape, and the elephants were throwing them off, and they couldn't ride the elephants, and they were looking, they couldn't, they were sloppy, they looked horrible to the people. They had become so soft. The Roman governors became corrupt as they had power to take offices, and in this power to manipulate people and to be in a position where people would look to them, they became absolutely corrupt. Greek soldiers at the time of Alexander the Great became very licentious. And they became drunkards, winos, because Alexander the Great was licentious and was a drunkard. And so as they went out on their trips through Persia and into India, especially on the way back from the victories, they were allowed by their captain, they followed his example, and they raped the women wherever they went, and they took the food, they just took everything on the way, didn't have to bother, was taking storage provisions with them. They drank all the way back. They had a big licentious orgy. And when Alexander got back, he drank all night at a feast and was going home drunk in the morning. And they invited him to another feast in which he twice drank full the Huclian cup containing several quarts and fell down seizure of a violent fever and died shortly after. The Greek soldiers became licentious. They became something because they imitated a corrupt leader. The Israelitish kings became idolaters. Until every single one of them followed idolatry instead of worshiping Yahweh. The popes, down through the Middle Ages, became politically ambitious until they found they could control nations and rule the world by their interdicts and by their anathemas and by their political blackmail. They became so politically ambitious, they became morally corrupt. Until at one period of history called the midnight hour of the papacy, they could not find one man. They could not find one cardinal or one bishop who was not guilty of either adultery or simony, and they had to import somebody from outside to the office. And the people were crying for reform. Even drove the popes off of the throne. One pope was killed in the act of adultery by an irate husband. Man becomes, but he can rise or he can fall, depending upon his passion. Passions can be stimulated. Passions can be suppressed. Let's look at some examples in Scripture. The book of Psalms, chapter 14, furnishes our first example this morning. Psalms 14 and 3. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now the Hebrew word for filthy here literally is stinking. Putrid. As spoiled food. Gets so you can't stand it. It turns your nose away from it. Stinks. It's putrid. Even as the miller who works in the flour mill gets to a place where he can't hear the noise of his own mill. It's grinding, 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 grinding until a place that he becomes so accustomed to it, he is not even cognizant of the fact that it's going anymore. And so it gets, we become so accustomed to odors that are about us that we don't even smell them anymore. You get so accustomed to a stuffy room, somebody walks in and says, "Woo, this room's stuffy." And you in the room don't even know it. You've been there so long. You become so accustomed to that smell of the world about you that it's a normal smell to you. It takes somebody to come in with a fresh nose from a fresh place to all of a sudden to know what that land is like. Over in the Orient, some places, the smell of excrement and so forth is so horrible. And the people from America who live in a bathed cologne society go over there and it just causes them to reel. You can live in that situation so much that you don't even smell it anymore. You don't even know what you smell like. And in fact, you can say, well, everybody else smells the same. And all that does is indict all of you. If you don't keep your own house clean, it becomes filthy. It keeps constant diligence to clean a house. I cleaned it. Yes, but it gets filthy. You have to keep it clean. You have to keep the bread box purged of old bread or it gets moldy. You have to keep the bread fresh within your life. The fresh bread of heaven. What Lord Jesus Christ did for you and what he fed you with a month ago is not good enough for today. The prayer you did a month ago, the commitment you did a month ago was not good enough for today. It was good for a month. Nothing wrong with the bread, but you must eat it all and not leave it unused or it becomes putrid. You have to keep it fresh. Let's turn to Psalms 119. Verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. I want you to notice in all these cases, people have become something. They weren't to begin with filthy, they became it. I am become. There's always a reason why you become something. I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. This is in allusion to the custom in that day of having a wineskin. And when you finish the wineskin and it's empty, they hang it up in the door of the tent. But it was their custom to cook in the tent as well. And as they cooked with a camel's dung or whatever they used, there was smoke in the tent. And as the smoke would go up, it would seek an exit and it would seek the door away and out the doorway. They always used the fire close to the doorway so it wouldn't smell the whole rest of the tent. Although it wasn't the tent. But it went out the doorway. And that bottle hung across the rope in the doorway. And the smoke went past that bottle until that wine skin until it became black by the smoke. And after a while, it would not being having anything in it, it would begin to shrivel, wrinkle because of the heat of that fire, and it would begin to crack. And that would become a worthless bottle after a while. That skin would become dried and black and cracked. And David said, "For I am become like a bottle in the smoke." Now, empty bottles shrink. If you keep your bottles full, we are temples of the Holy Ghost, keep full of that new wine. If you keep your bottles full, then they will not be hung up. That's inactivity. Now, empty, God can't use you. He'll have to hang you up. Keep it in use. He'll keep the empty ones, you keep it, the full ones, you keep it by your side, where you can be put out. But if you do get hung up in the smoke, which is the trials of your life, the heat and the smoke, the trials, the wine speaks of the Holy Ghost of rejoicing, you know, the wine of the Spirit, will keep shape in that bottle. And if it's full of wine, it will not shrink and crack. The wine, the heaviness of it, will keep it expanded and keep it out there, keep it full. And if it's full of wine, it won't shrink and crack. Even though it'll get black because of the trial you're in. You may look awful black in the trial, but brother, you better keep that wine of rejoicing in there during all the trials, like Paul did when he was in the Philippian jail. When he needed people to come and encourage him, he was writing encouragement. Don't give up, he was saying. Read Philippians, written in the prison epistle, as it's called. And there he was rejoicing and keep the faith, brother, and don't give up. And there he was when he was in prison. At the time when people should be coming to him, telling him not to give up, he was saying, don't give up, flock. I've prayed over you. I've worked over you. Don't give up. Don't let him. Don't quit. Keep the rejoicing. Keep full of the wine. And when you go through the smoky trials, they won't crack you. Isaiah 121. It's over a few pages. How is the faithful city become an harlot? It was full of judgment. It means righteous judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. The faithful city became a harlot. It's talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. Earthly Jerusalem, we are physically in a typological sense, and we have a spiritual sense, but earthly Jerusalem, the holy city, Jerusalem, the city of peace, has become full of murderers, and there's no more peace. Anarchy on the streets, violence on the campuses, wars and fightings within. It's become a harlot. It was faithful and it's become unfaithful. Harlot is unfaithful. Harlot's the unfaithful wife, unfaithful lover. It was a faithful lover and now it's an unfaithful lover. What was the cause? Defection of the heart. Defection of the heart. Having lost their first love, like John says. What causes the heart to defect? They had lost their first love. Lost their first love. And he removed the lampstand. The oil had burned out. The flame began to flicker and to go out. They lost their first love. If you are here this morning, and you remember when you came to Lord Jesus Christ, and oh, how you loved him. All the love of God was shed abroad in your heart, and the tears of joy ran down your face. And today you don't have that love for him anymore. You'll find that you are becoming hard and becoming one who is callous to love. May I suggest that a quick trip to the altar and time before the Lord to renew that love relationship is important, or your lamp will go out. Now, if you don't keep loving Christ, you will fall in love with the world. You will either love the world or you love Christ. Neutral you cannot be. If you begin to flirt with the world, you'll begin to fall in love with the world. And then you'll begin to have defection of your heart towards Christ. Verse 22 here in the book of Isaiah shows a compromise, a mixture that was made. Thy silver is become dross, Thy wine mixed with water. Here we find a mixture, a compromise, an intermingling. Water, mix it, wine, mix it with water. Compromise it. Weaken down your joy. Weaken your faith. Weaken your love relationship with God. Get it weakened down. Allowing your silver to become dross. Turn to the book of Lamentations for just a moment, which is just right two chapters further to the New Testament, Jeremiah and Lamentations, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Lamentations. These are the lamentations or the lamenting or the weeping of Jeremiah. So it follows the book of Jeremiah. Chapter 4 and verse 1. How is the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? The stones of the sanctuary are poured out into the top of every street. The precious sons of Zion, comparable to fine gold, how are they esteemed as earthen pitchers, the work of the hands of the potter? Now, notice, how is the gold become dim? The gold has been unpolished. Gold represents deity. We have not been magnifying His name. We've not been glorifying Him. We've not been polishing that gold in the temple. He's talking about in the temple hill. You don't polish the gold in the temple. When you look in the, you look in those into the golden pillars, and if there is no polish, you don't see your face in deity. It doesn't reflect any glory. It's become dim. And the glory that's in gold is not seen any longer. You begin to, you don't begin to see as much light because the light isn't being reflected from it. You don't keep that love relationship and you won't see the light of God. You begin to love Him less. You won't see the glory of God. It'll become dim in your eyes. But it's gold nonetheless. The sanctuary here is, represents the worship in your heart. We are the sanctuary of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so here, worship in your heart is in view. And then he says the stones, meaning the gems of the sanctuary, are put out on the top of every street. If you see people take gems of a sanctuary and throw them out into the streets, you know that they are unappreciated. They become common. We talked Friday night on uncommon Christians, peculiar Christians. And so, if you become common, see, the gifts of God, the glories of God, the gems, the sapphires, the rubies, the emeralds, the various stones represent God and all of His manifold perfections and the glories of Christ in every aspect. And if these things are no longer appreciated, you just cast out your pearls before swine. They become nothing anymore. You throw them out in the top, out into the street. You don't esteem them to be anything. Then we come to that place. We lose the love for God. That the scripture says, if I have not love, I become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And so before the Lord, you're making so much noise. And by your actions, that they can't hear what you're saying. You make so much noise by your actions, they can't hear what you're singing. You're singing, "Where He leads me, I will follow." But you're going, clang, 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 by your life, that they can't hear the words, "Where He lead me, I will follow." Clanging cymbal, sounding brass, the blare of it. And so the Lord says, that those people who've lost the love for God stand in the sanctuary and they sing. And He says, it's a howling in my ears, a din in my ears. It's a howling. It's offensive to it. I hate it. Melody, all the arms upraised, he says, I look down at all the hands, and the hands are dirty, filthy hands. He says, I won't put bread in those filthy hands. And those songs that come up are just a howling. They're horrible because they come from the lips and the lungs rather than from a heart that wants to walk with God. In Psalms 28:1, quickly, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. If we get so God will not answer us, we'll perish. Book of Matthew, chapter 21 is next, verse 42. Matthew 21:42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. Now, Jesus was rejected of man, but he became the head. Man despised him, rejected him, but God loved him. He knew who was writing the paycheck. He knew whom to worry about. He knew whom to feel. He knew who he loved, the world of his Father. Christ is our example. We are to grow up into him, and we can become a part of that headship. Because he sits upon the throne, we shall rule and reign with him. He's the headship, we become a part of that headship, even though we are his body, by ruling and reigning with him. In Mark 1:17, go over a few pages. Mark 1:17. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Notice he said, I will make you to become. He didn't just say, you will become. This isn't something you can do on your own. He's going to have to do it. If it's going to be done in you, he's going to do it. Now, you are becoming something. You can't help but become something. But as you're becoming more faithful, and as you're becoming students of the Word, as you're becoming teachers, as you're becoming altar workers, as you're becoming witnesses, as you're becoming worthy ambassadors, as you're becoming soft and pliable and submissive and willing and dead to self, then he will cause you to become heirs of all things. He'll cause you to become mature sons in him. You'll never do it on your own. It's the work of God. But we must do what he says here. Jesus said, you do something, action, come. Start walking. Have faith, and by faith, start walking. Make a decision and start walking. Come ye after me. You imitate me. You follow me. And if you follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. And you'll begin to draw men into the kingdom of God. But I'm going to have to make you, but I can't make you unless you will follow. So come, start following. Get in motion. Get action. They could sit there on that shore, sitting by the end of the boat, all day long, and all week and all month, and say, I believe that. Don't you believe that, Sam? Oh, I believe that, Andrew. Don't you believe that, Andrew? Oh, I believe that, Andrew. I believe that. Don't you believe that, Sam? Oh, I believe that. John, do you believe that? Oh, I believe that. But they wouldn't get up and walk. They never become fishers of men. You can sit here and say, oh, amen, wonderful sermon. Oh, amen, praise the Lord, good thoughts. But unless you come and follow, he can't make you to become. He wants us to become fishers of men, so we won't become, like it says, the old law, the schoolmaster is dead. Therefore, you are no longer under the law. So now I want you to leave, die to that law, and you come and marry Christ, who will set you free. And now you'll be in the grace of God. Now, if you marry the law, you know what will happen to you? You'll be just like a male tarantula. You know what a male tarantula does? When it marries the female tarantula? They mate, and she kills them, stings them, and eats and drags his body in for the little baby ones when they hatch to eat on. So if you marry the law, just like a tarantula, it will kill you. The law can never save you. All the law can do is hang you on a tree. All the law can do is show you that you're crooked as a snake. It lines itself up straight and just uses. All it can do is show you how bad you are. It can't save you. And if you ever came out of any pit, you didn't come out by the law, you came out by the grace of God. Now, if you marry the world, and the world is a product of Satan, you know that. The whole world lies in the laps of the wicked one. That is the world system I'm talking about, not the earth. And so the world is a child of the devil. You marry this world, and you're going to have trouble with your father-in-law all your life. I can tell you that. The last thing it's going to become is Revelation 11:15. I like this verse. I like, and in fact, in my own weaknesses of impatience, I'd like this verse to happen right now. I get sick and tired of this old babbling out here. Revelation 11:15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And I say, hasten the Lord, come quickly. I can't wait for the day when the Lord comes over and takes over this earth. In my natural impatience and righteous indignation, I'd like to see the Lord Jesus Christ come and take over this thing. And we just get rid of Nixon and Goldberg and all the rest of them in the government. And get rid of, and that includes Democrats, Republicans, third party, you name it. Just get them all out of there and get all the huffing senators out of there and all the rest. And all the Black Panthers and Gus Halls, the head of the Communist Party of the United States. And I'd like to see the Lord Jesus Christ take over as world ruler, king, absolute monarch. Someday he's going to do that. Well, it behooves us to become overcomers so we won't be overcome. Amen? Yes. If you don't overcome, you'll be overcome. We need to become overcomers so we don't become a part of, and so we can become a part of the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. I praise God that when we are becoming more like Him, we are becoming something as we allow Him to work. You are becoming something, friend, and you better stop and take a good, long, hard look at what you are becoming. And then you better take action to make sure that you become what the Lord wants you to become, what He's called you for. Let's stand.